Yep, shows it's recording, so that's good.
Hello.
Hello. Yeah, we're just getting everyone connected here, so it'll take another minute or so. Okay, very good. Hi, everyone. My name is Rick Traer, and I'm the CEO of the Canadian Sport Tourism Alliance. Welcome to our third COVID-19 webinar that we're making available on a complimentary basis to the sport tourism industry. We've got over 200 individuals registered for today's webinar that will be delivered by Brent Berutes, President and CEO of the Partnership Group Sponsorship Specialists. A couple of housekeeping items before we get started. Everyone's microphone should be on mute to prevent background noise and any feedback. So if you could do that now. And also please use the chat button for any questions. Should be at the bottom of your screen. We'll try to answer as many as possible, or at least post the answers on the website following the webinar. Copy of the presentation will be posted on our website within 24 hours after the session. So thanks again for participating, and now over to you, Brent.
Great. Thanks very much, Rick. Thanks, everybody, for being here. I'm just going to test my skills here. On the ability to bring up this PowerPoint. So thanks again to everybody for being here. There you should have it. And I'm hoping you can, I'm gonna see if we go to full screen. You should still be able to use the chat room on the side. Can anybody is still able to do it? Everybody can see it there. So the session today is on corporate sponsorship revenue program, sort of what it's going to look like post COVID-19. And again, I'm not a person that has a crystal ball or anything, but we've done a lot of research over the last 6 weeks. And most recently in the last couple of days, earlier this week and late last week, pulling a lot of data that we can be able to present to you today. So as Rick said, keep your mic on mute, please. Then we don't have to listen to the screaming kids and the barking dogs in the background. I've had a few of those. And also, can people access, Rick, have you got the ability to see if that chat is on the side or not?
I'm monitoring it now. Yep.
Okay, cool. Good. It's showing up on mine as not available. So I want to make sure everybody else can. So I won't be able to see any of those questions as it stands. So you'll have to relay them to me, Rick. So
okay.
This is my contact information on our website for anybody that wants to reach out to us, take a look at our website. But here's my contact information. If you want to reach out to me after this session, my email address on Twitter at PartnershipGRP and at on Instagram, you can reach me at Sponsorship Specialist, and on LinkedIn, obviously, as well. So that's, if you have questions afterwards, anything you want, that's the best way to get a hold of me. Actually, email is probably the best. So also, there's a lot of the data that I'm going to share today, and Rick's going to share the actual presentation with you. But we also, through our Tuesday morning commentary, a blog that I put out every Tuesday, there's been a lot of content on COVID specifically in the last few weeks. So I would encourage you, if you want to sign up for that, that'll give you some additional ideas and thoughts. So questions that you may already have in the back of your head are things like, are my sponsors ever going to be back? Are they ever going to show up again? What can I be doing right now? Will sponsorship still exist? Will, when live sporting events return, what's it going to look like for sponsors? How will it be different than it is pre? And what will that new world look like? So that's some of the questions that I tried to build this presentation around. And what I've tried to lay out here for you is the understanding that there's really three key stages of this pandemic from a sponsorship perspective that you should know and focus on right now, that there's really three steps, three stages that we're going to go through. The first one is what, and I'm going to address all of these, what can or should you be doing right now or should have already been doing? Then number two, we're going to look at what you should be doing. The second phase is to start a plan and prepare for the future. And then the third one is be ready for the new norm in the sponsorship around your organizations, your events, your destination, all that sort of stuff. So the first two I'm going to touch on briefly. The third one is really what the focus of this session will be. So the first element that comes to this is what should I be doing right now, or what could I have been doing already? And the first and foremost thing is communication. You need to be talking to your existing sponsors, those organizations and those people that have heard me speak on a session before this. It's like a broken record, but it is absolutely critical. You need to be communicating and talking with your partners, the sponsors for your tournament, sponsors for your event, sponsors on your website or your programming, or if you're a destination, the sponsors that are on their buildings that you host events in or fields. So communication is essential, and that communication is going and talking to them. And the key is to talk to them about them. Ask them how they're doing. Ask them what impact it's had on them and their business. I mean, a lot of you have hotels as sponsors. They're hurting really bad. So you need to be empathetic. You need to understand that. And the worst thing in the world you can do is try to sell to them right now, or try to close them, or ask them for money if they're hurting. And until you talk to them, you won't know that. And then you want to be able to find out what they're doing in the marketplace right now. You want to find out if, they're a hotel, and maybe they are, and I'm just using hotels right now, but maybe that they are, providing free rooms or discounted rooms for frontline workers and for healthcare workers. So if they're doing that, you should be communicating about that. Tell people about what your partners are doing. So you want to communicate, you want to be caring and have empathy, and you want to see how you can help the greater situation versus just yourself. Stop thinking about your destination. Stop thinking about your sport organization, and start thinking about your partners and about the community as a whole. Those kids that aren't playing baseball this year, those kids that didn't get to go to hockey tryouts, the kids that just, their judo is canceled for the entire summer. So when we start to look at that, we want to make sure that you're seeing and caring and communicating with your partners, but also that you start to tell people about it. And there's two examples I want to show you here. One is Bauer. And most of us know about what Bauer's done. They've shifted their production to make these masks for healthcare workers. So in doing so, everybody is talking about it. It's on LinkedIn. It's on different organizations, the NHL, sport hockey organizations. They're all sharing this story. they're talking about how impactful this has been and how Bauer is doing such a great job. That's what you can be doing about your local sponsors in your local community, whether you're a destination or whether you're a sport organization. Another one is actually, and I was really impressed with the COC, the Canadian Olympic Committee. They didn't do this right out of the hopper in March or early April, but by mid-April, they produced a phenomenal video that talked about every one of their key partners. And that video was 4 or 5 minutes long, but it talked about every one of their partners and what they were doing in the community. It didn't talk about COC. It didn't talk about the organization. It talked about their partners and what they were doing to make a difference in the community for individuals, for families, for healthcare workers, those sorts of things. So those are the types of things that you should be doing, but you can't do that unless you communicate. So the fourth thing that you should or could have been doing already is focus on your partner, not yourself. And I think I've addressed that pretty clearly at this point. And then you need to start being creative. You need to start looking at other things that you can do or that your partners are doing that you can talk about. And I'm going to give you a couple more examples here. This is a really good one. It's out of the States, but it's the Louisville Bats. And I'm not sure how many of you even know about the Louisville Bats, but they're a ball team. I think they're a Cincinnati's Red Farm team. They're obviously in Louisville. And this story came through to me through Mark Sabourin and his sponsorship report. It's a great publication if ever you're looking to delve deeper into the sponsorship world, know what's going on in Canada and sponsorships. But with the Louisville Bats, just like every other organization, whether they're a sport organization, whether they're a sport team, whether they're a chamber of commerce, I don't care who they are, everybody is trying to help out restaurants. So if they're your sponsors, we're typically all doing the same things. We're saying, hey, Panago's our partner. Be sure to be ordering pizza from Panago. Or, you know, Joe's Pizzeria is our partner, is our sponsor. And they do a great program with us all year round with our programming. Make sure if you're ordering dinner, get it from Joe's Pizzeria. The Louisville Bats took this one step further. And what they did was they introduced or they integrated in their augmented reality app. They already had an augmented reality app. So what they said was go and order food. They picked 10 of their restaurant partners, which had 100 different outlets over the Louisville area. Then they created a scavenger hunt concept, almost like a Pokemon Go opportunity. And what you could do is order from one of those places. And then when you went to pick up curbside, so not delivery, but you went to pick up curbside, pull up the app, pull up the Louisville Bats augmented reality app and put Batty, their mascot, in the picture, standing next to the front door of the restaurant or the logo of the restaurant. What this has created is incremental sales for those restaurants who are partners with the Louisville Bats. It's created some fun and excitement, like a scavenger hunt Pokemon Go game. So you start ordering from multiple places. And there's prizing opportunities that go with it for when the ball team comes back. It's free tickets, it's sweets, it's graft, it's all those sorts of things, and other products that they're giving away as prizing. So this has become fun, and it's also incremental sales and dramatically incremental sales for their partners. And the final element is they're teaching people how to use their augmented reality app before these people return to the ballpark, and that's where they really want them to use it. A Canadian example is in Kingston, and some of you may know about this. Daft Brewing has switched over and is not, actually they didn't switch over, but they are producing sanitizer like so many small breweries and distilleries are doing. And what they've done is, ironically, their owner, Adam Rondo, and they do a lot of sponsorships in the community of Kingston. And I know there's some people on here from Kingston, so you probably know Daft Brewery. But about 6 or 8 weeks before COVID, they actually happened to buy a still that the, you know, a 200 liter still from China. The price was so cheap. He said, I couldn't have bought this thing and got it delivered for any cheaper than it's that I'm just paying for the product. So he got it delivered. He put it in storage. COVID comes along. He pulled that thing out of storage and as a community organization turned around and started producing sanitizer through that still. If they're your partner in Kingston or the greater area, you should be talking about them, talking about the impact that this has made and that this is the type of thing that you have to tell stories about your partners. And again, this comes back to that. We should be doing this anyway. The very last thing that you should have or could have been doing is determining what they need and helping them to achieve it. And if that means that they can't stay in, they've given you money and and your event's been postponed or canceled and they need that money back to make payroll next week, give it to them. Those are the sorts of things we need to look at how we can help them. And the thought process that I use is do the right thing as opposed to trying to calculate what it's going to look like in 3 months or 6 months or how's that going to impact my bottom line. Do the right thing and your sponsors will be there in the future. If you don't, then they won't be. And as somebody pointed out to me, what happens over this 6 to 12 to 18 weeks? What happens over this 6, 12, 18 weeks is how people will remember you and your organization and your destination for the next decade. And what you want them remembering is how you gave back, how you were impactful in the community, and how you cared. So that's the first thing. The second thing is we need to start to plan and prepare for the future. We don't know when the future is going to come back to normal. I know in Ontario, Alberta, and Saskatchewan have all laid out plans, and some different provinces and jurisdictions have rolled that out and said these are the timelines, not necessarily the start dates. Some of them have provided start dates, but you may have canceled or suspended events or programming, not may, you all have. And the end result is, how are you going to reintroduce those? What is going to happen? And the key is, again, communication. You should be back to all your members and talking to them on an ongoing basis. This is where we are. This is what we've now postponed. Here's what our vision is for the future. So they know you're thinking about them and caring about them. Create a timeline plan. Once isolation is lifted, once large events have been approved, here's what we're going to introduce. And here's the timeline for the first 6 weeks after isolation and people are back in the office. Here's what we're going to do when events can happen again. Here's what we're going to do when we can have small gatherings to run a sport event at a facility in a non-spectator situation. Here's what we're going to do. So you need to be planning everything out. You need to be having all of that in place and start building out content for the stories that are happening, making sure that you can be ready to tell and share the stories of what you did and what your partners did over this 12 or 18 weeks so we can understand and you have stories to share, opportunities to talk about. So it's building out that strategy, but also allowing it to be flexible. You don't have deadlines and dates right now, so you have to be flexible. Have to make sure also, and I'm just looking to see here, okay. Want to be flexible in your times and continue communication, not with just your partners, but your memberships. So what is this new norm? What is, you know, be ready for it. What do you expect? So what I'm going to look at for the next little bit is, what does this new norm mean? What are sponsors looking for? What is the reality impact? What won't be there and what will be there? And the big question of, can I survive? So understand that this game has truly changed. What you were doing before COVID from a sponsorship perspective is going to look dramatically different post-COVID. And it's getting that reality check into place now so you know. So that new norm, I need to look at this, and we've tried to look at this in building this presentation, to look at it from the sport organizations' perspectives, whether the provincial, the national, local, as well as destinations and your suppliers' perspectives. So the part that you need to understand is that all of you are in this together. Without sport organizations, destinations don't have that extra traffic into their communities. Without sport organizations, guess what? The suppliers don't get more hotel room nights. They don't get more travel. They don't get all of these things. We need to understand that we're all in this together, and you can't host an event as a sport organization without a destination partner or people getting to and from to that location. So I keep coming back to this critical element that you need to understand that we're in this all together and that we need to be supporting each other and looking at the needs of your partners on an ongoing basis. Also understand that, and I'm being really blunt, there is no way to sugarcoat this. There will be less sponsorship dollars, and we need to start to look at how we can be collaborative. The Canadian Federation of Independent Businesses, in their study in early March, indicated that 1 in 3 Canadian businesses said they won't survive this. The most recent one has said 1 in 2 won't survive COVID-19, especially if it continues on for more than 3 or 4 months. So these are huge numbers that we have to look at. And when you look at it, the average cost to a small business, not the loss of revenue, but the actual hard costs over this period of a 3 month term is $320,000. So that's a lot of money that these businesses are going to have to fork out if they're going to stay in business. So understand that there are going to be less actual sponsors locally and possibly nationally to support your events, your programs, and those sorts of things. So there will be less dollars. It means that we need to start shifting our thinking to how we can differentiate ourselves and get that money, but also how we can start to work with other organizations from a sponsorship perspective. We also need to understand that brands today have shifted and repositioned themselves. For the most part, they are not talking about come to Walmart, we have great savings today. They're not talking about come and stay at my Holiday Inn. They're not talking about this sales component. They're talking about their brand and their storytelling and their social messaging. They're telling people that they're open or that they have product if they need it, but the focus is about storytelling. And what will happen is when we come out of this, they will need to sell products. They will have to shift their messaging, and they will have to be delivering sales messages, and that's the opportunity for you to be involved even further and help them to drive traffic to their stores, their restaurants, their places of business, online or otherwise. The brands have also shifted to more digital than ever. They're running online video, they're storytelling more, they're producing videos or posting on YouTube that run 7, 12, or 30 minutes telling stories. So they're using digital because they have to, even more than they ever did. Sure, they're still using newspaper and traditional radio and those and television and those sorts of things, but a lot of them are also shifting like we are right now to Zoom webinars. So what is it that you can do or understand that new world is going to be way more digital than you have ever been? What videos could you produce today in your own organization through Zoom or through your laptop, through your phone, I don't care what it is, to be able to post that talks about your partners, talks about your programming? Some of you are probably already doing the programming side, and that's the opportunity that you need to start looking at, is to how are you going to integrate digital into that new world? So in late April, earlier this month, just like end of last week, Angus Reid came out, and this poll Nearly half of the Canadians believe the restrictions will start to be lifted in May and June. So that at least gives us some timelines. Of course, that's people's thoughts. That's not what the government has determined. Though restrictions still exist, we have to understand for over 6 weeks, few Canadians are truly housebound. Like 4 in 5 Canadians, this comes out of this Angus Reid poll, that 4 out of 5 are venturing out now. They're in the grocery stores, they're in the parks, they're going for walks, they're doing all those things. So the 6 or 8 weeks that we've been quote unquote housebound, we haven't really been housebound. At least 80% of us haven't been. So there is already movement outside of our homes and that quarantine scenario. So that tells us that people are getting antsy, people are wanting to go places. But what we saw was brands, as I told you a few minutes ago, a shift in storytelling. They went from that aligning to charities, or they have been aligning to charities. All of the brand storytelling have been about how they can help healthcare workers or how they can help other people. And this is something that you should start to look at, especially the sport organizations, but also the destinations. Organizations like Kidsport and Jumpstart, start telling those stories, what they're doing. Because what you have to understand is that coming back, whether it's in late fall 2020 or whether it's not till 2021, that there's a lot of kids that are in families that have been laid off. 1 million Canadians plus have been laid off, and it's probably more to come. So they're not going to be able to afford your sport in the fall or next year. So how can you team up with Kidsport or team up with Jumpstart or Right to Play or community wellness charities in your own communities to help to raise funds for them? Use this opportunity to be saying, hey, we need you to support Kidsport because kids won't have money to play sport, and sport is an essential part of the recovery process. So please support your local Kidsport organization or whatever that organization is. This builds your brand as an organization, whether you're a destination, whether you're a supplier, whether you're a sport organization. It shows that you're caring about the kids in the community. So if you're Baseball Canada, how can you be helping to get kids back into baseball for next year through Kidsport? Because some of them won't be able to afford it. So those needs for organizations like Kidsport, Jumpstart, Right to Play, the need for them is going to increase dramatically in the next 6 to 12 to 18 months, just like the need for food banks has increased dramatically immediately during COVID and the social service agencies. But this is going to happen for your organization. So how can you team up with your sponsors to help raise money for Kidsport or Jumpstart or whoever it is? So those are critical things that you need to be looking at. In this new norm, we have to understand, as I said, we are going to go virtual. Partially, at least. And that's a reality. People are going to be traveling less. They're going to be live streaming more. And it will be important that you provide those additional assets. So if you're actually, and I'm not just talking about virtual of your events and broadcasting them through live streaming or anything, but I'm talking about when you're hosting a nationals or a provincials in the new world, are people really going to want that registration kit and put their hand in and take all the papers and everything else that's in there? Maybe you need to shift, and this is, and I have no relation to this guy, but I've seen his stuff. He's pretty amazing. He's based out of New York. He's called the Sponsorship Guy. But he's got a virtual events profiles white paper out. And he talks about things like your digital athletes registration kit or your digital kits or grab bags. How can you go digital? And you need to be thinking about that now, not later, because these are all things that you need to be doing. You need to be looking at you know, if you're as a sport organization, you're hosting an AGM. So can you do that virtually? Did people actually have to come to be there? Can you also integrate webinars like this? Can you have speakers still be at your AGM or at your national conference or any of those sorts of things, like the great event that Curling Canada does in the summer every year? It used to be late August. It was fall last year or the year before out at Canmore. But when you start to look at those types of events, can you go virtual or can you at least go partially virtual? And where do sponsors' opportunities exist in there? Because it's way more. There's way more opportunities from a virtual perspective than you could imagine. It can be integrated into the virtual presentation. It can be couponing virtually, all those sorts of things. So these are what you need to look at. When we continue to look at this, activations are going to change. Those experiential booths and activities will need to go touchless. So if you had people that had booths and were letting you pick up the bat and feel the bat, that isn't going to happen anymore. If you were handing out food products or any of your exhibitors were handing out food products, that's not going to happen. That may never be back. So what can you do to get people to test the product? How can you do it? Can you do it virtually? How can you do this contactless? How can you do contactless for checking in at a hotel? As an event organizer for a major event that's got 400 people coming in to Brandon, Manitoba, so, and they're checking into six different hotels. How can they check in using their phone today as a group or as an individual, touchless, and that their iPhone or their Samsung, I don't care whose product it is, but that phone is also the key to their room. They don't need that little card. When is that coming? How are you going to be able to do that? And how does the sponsor get integrated into that? Because there's huge opportunities. As I said, gone are the days of handing out promotional items and sampling of food. We have to find new ways to do that. And they're available. I mean, could it be that instead of handing out that Big Chief beef jerky, you're handing out a click-through that gives them a coupon that can take them to a store that they will automatically get a free sample? What a great place to have them get a free sample, because they may buy a second one right then and there. You need to have solutions to avoid, your sponsors are all going to say, if I can't sample or if I can't do what I did last year where people came into my booth and went on my screen and did this and that, if I can't do that, I'm not there. Then you as a sport organization, you need to have that answer of how they can do it differently and successfully, because otherwise they're not coming back. Maybe it's using virtual reality. Maybe it's using the Xbox formats for people to test and try things so that they're in a virtual reality scenario. All of these, and it may be moving activations from very large, 60 people in a booth testing stuff, to one-on-one type scenarios where you're putting on a headset and going through a virtual reality experience. We watched Toyota do that in several different things recently, before COVID, but they're all about safety. Toyota's all about safety and wants to demonstrate it. So they set up virtual reality. So as a 14-year-old, you could actually do a test drive in a car, virtual reality-wise, and you could see how it is to drive. And your parents could watch you do that. And then the parents could do the same thing. And you would see all of the experiential elements that go in there, but also all the safety features that Toyota has. Therefore, if I'm buying a car for my kid, it's probably a Toyota because they've got all these safety features and I just saw how they drove. So those are the types of things that you need to be looking at. Your conferences and AGMs, as I said, are partially going to go digital. You also have to look at that nearly 75% of event goers, this comes from the Enigma Back to Live Event Survey by Enigma Research, that 75% of event goers surveyed indicated they will be very motivated to attend live events once the pandemic is over. So I want you also to take that with a grain of salt, because that is by an event researcher. And that's fine. The stats are all good and Enigma does some great stuff, but I'm going to show you some other stats in a little bit that will also allow you to understand some bigger picture stuff. But this tells us that people do want to come back. And one of the key things that Enigma was able to identify for us is that sponsors were, about 37% of sponsors were favorable, overall the impression of the brands was favorable for those people that attended live events. They were favorable towards the sponsors that were there. That's about a third. But overall, what is your impression of brands and sponsors that continue to support during canceled and postponed events during this time? That number jumped up enormously to almost 60%. So that's almost two thirds. It's almost double. So that's important for you to be messaging to your sponsors that say, I need to leave. Well, understand that you've made a big investment in this over the last 4 to 5 years or 2 years. And if you leave now, you've lost that investment you've made. You're going to have to start over. Let's find a way to keep you here and for you to stick on board so that people feel even better about you and see if we can do it at a different level for you. Contactless, over 50% of event goers, is again the Enigma research stuff. 50% of event goers are more likely to return to events if there's contact payment, contactless payments, contactless admission, contactless food and merchandise. You need to understand that one of the biggest elements to getting people to come back, whether that's for just playing in your sport or whether it's coming to a provincial or national event, the most important thing is they have to feel safe. They have to feel that when their kid is traveling, when their kid is playing, when they are engaged, that safety and the health and safety of fans and athletes are tantamount. So sponsors don't want to associate to you if you have not addressed that. When 9/11 happened, what did we do after 9/11? We understood that we had to walk through tightened security before we could get on planes. Think about it. August 2001, you could walk up to the gate to see somebody off. Today, you have trouble just getting through security on time to make it to the gate on time. So when we start to look at those things, people want that security, and you as sport organizations and destinations are going to have to provide it. That spills over to not just the events, but all the activation engagement that goes on with sponsors. IEG noted that 1 in 2 of those surveyed think it'll be 3 to 6 months before sponsorship returns to some sort of normalcy after everything else is over, after all of the isolation is over. There's going to be a shift away from the traditional, and that's like the signage and the media exposure, onto virtual and those sorts of things. The Canadian Sponsorship Landscape Study, Norm O'Reilly, a big advocate of the CSTA, their surveys have shown that 60% believe that September 2020 is the return to normalcy. I still think that that's just the return. Normalcy will be 6 to 8 months after that. But 25% of those people that they surveyed said it wouldn't be till 2021. But these are the things to understand, that 30 to 45% is the decrease expectation in revenues for sponsorship, naming right, or sponsorship rights fees. There will be almost half the amount of sponsorship revenue going into our marketplaces than before COVID-19. And again, cut in half will be the money that brands are spending on activation. This will eventually come back, but for the first while, the numbers are going to be tighter. So we need to look at, we need to throw out what we've done in the past. We need to understand that what was working in the past isn't going to work anymore, and we need to change it. And now is the time to start planning for those changes. I wanted to understand that now is the time to start planning. As sport organizations, you have athletes that train for long periods of time to get to that tournament, to get to the team, to make the event. Our team trains. Everybody trains and prepares. Destinations are looking out 3 and 4 years in time to be able to host events and plan and do all those sorts of things. the same goes for the return to the new norm after COVID. You need to be planning now. My friend, Justine Fedak, from who used to be with BMO, she said to me the other day, she said, what we need to be thinking about is almost comparing it to if somebody gets their leg amputated, you don't wait until they're coming, the day they're coming home from hospital to say, okay, I need to make sure that they've got a bedroom on the main floor. We need to get a rampway put in. We need to get a lift for the car so they can get in and out. You do that before they come home, while they're in hospital, while they're going through surgery, while they're recovering in hospital and through the recovery process. Don't wait till the last minute. So don't wait for your sponsorship program until you need to sell it to find the solutions and make the plans. So when we look at it, the transitions going back is going to be slow. Face the fact that some of the events that you've done are not going to come back. Some are going to come back slowly. And they're really, and I'm going to go through this pretty quickly, but there are four stages to the return. Number one is that we're in it right now. And that is the stage of getting past panic, communicating, staying in touch with our partners. Number two stage is to resume on a small scale operations. And we're going to see this, and we've seen this start of this to some extent. I know in Alberta they've started, in BC they've started to look at restaurants allowing patios to open, parks being reopened, facilities that would be, you know, those sorts of things. But really, it's resuming the small-scale operations. That's the next step in the four stages of the return. The third step is expanding social events. So that means that, you know, within a month of lowering the infection rate levels to acceptable level, I think we're going to start to see that social events happening. So gatherings will be allowed to larger numbers than 12, 15, or 50. Depending on what jurisdiction you're in. It's going to also allow us to be able to shift and look at sporting events that might not have spectators at them. So those are the types of things we're going to see people wanting to go to malls more. We're going to see people wanting to access movies and those sorts of things. So the return to norm will happen. It'll happen slowly and it'll happen socially. And then the fourth stage is domestic tourism. And this is going to be essential because people have to feel safe in traveling. They have to feel safe on the airlines and in the airports and staying in hotels. And that's going to take some time, but they're going to test it locally and domestically. And once we know that we have that domestic tourism security, then we can start to plan larger events. It'll be the reassurance and the confidence that Canada is a safe country to travel in, and that'll be proven through the domestic tourism travel and sport travel that large events will return. Until then, we're not going to have that sort of opportunity. So the next study is one that was done by a company called Mindshare. This study just came out Friday, was published Friday, and it reiterates that the return to normal life will be gradual. Canadians are more scared now than they even were at the beginning of April. They're more cautious today than they were at the beginning of April. So some of the numbers that came out of the Mindshare study were that 57% of Canadians feel worried today still. Like, that's one in two Canadians are extremely worried about catching COVID. Only 21% feel that they're prepared to return to normalcy. The key to note is that women are over-indexing on negative emotions on reality. So the negative side, they're over-indexing on that and, oh, you know, the worry side, where men, unfortunately, are over-indexing on emotions like confidence and calmness. And we're over-indexing on that. Understand that the reality is somewhere in between those two. Only 7% of Canadians said they would return to movies when the restrictions are lifted. But within a month, they may start to go to movies again. Understand that most things that will be done, people that they love, say that they love doing, will return immediately to that. would be 28%. So a quarter of Canadians will return to what they love doing, if that was working out or if that was meeting their friends for coffee or whatever. Unfortunately, so number two on the list of returning is malls. And only 16% of people in Canada will actually return to malls and restaurants upon initial allowing people to do so. It'll take 2 to 3 weeks after that, or months even, to be able to get back to everybody feeling comfortable. And understand that only 7% of Canadians said they would return to going to a sporting event, and 5% to a concert or live event. And only 11 and 9% respectively, so sport and the concert stuff, within a month. So that's telling us that this isn't going to happen quickly, and we need to be prepared for the long haul. So 62% of Canadians as of Friday do not think social distancing should be eliminated anytime soon. So that tells me that our new world of sports sponsorship in the sport tourism industry has to be virtual to a great extent. We may be able to have athletes competing, but they'd probably be spectatorless. So until a vaccine is found, until that happens, large events aren't going to happen. Trade shows, conventions, those sorts of things. Smaller events, and understand and start to plan accordingly, that smaller localized events will be ventured into first, and that's where you want to go. Sponsors want to be there. Witness the WNBA draft, witness the NFL draft, witness how many people tuned in to some of those events. I mean, when we look at it, there were 15 million people turned into the virtual draft on Friday. They're looking for this, and you can deliver some of it. What you can also deliver, the other thing is, until border crossings and borders are open, there's not going to be international sport travel. And even bringing them into the country, if the two-week quarantine still exists, how do you have international play? So those are things that we need to look at and understand. The new norm, dealing with your sponsors, those ones that are saying, you know, what do we do next? You should, if you guys have force majeure clauses in your contracts with your sponsors, you need to be looking at that. Whether you enforce them or not is up to you. But reminding them, but exiting a sponsorship right now, and you've been with us for 3 or 4 years, probably isn't the best bet. You've invested a lot of effort and goodwill, and to leave now probably isn't the right thing to do. Perhaps you as an organization might extend their contractor for a year without cost, or maybe that it just goes into suspension for a year. They don't participate or pay this year, and next year they do. Those are the things that we need to be looking at. So when we start to look at conclusions and next steps, you need to stay connected with your partners. You need to determine on an ongoing basis how you can help them. You need to plan for the future today. Don't wait till this is all over. And you're going to need to build out that timeline. I always love this quote. We've always done it that way. And those are the most expensive 7 words in business. And you need to be thinking about how you can do things differently, not how you can do them. We need to throw away what we used to do and start with a clean whiteboard to solve problems with these new tools. We need to understand digital, social, virtual will all be in the new world, and that you're going to have to integrate them. I know most of us have thought about it and talked about integrating it over the past 5 to 10 years, but now is the time that you have to. So I'm going to take the screen off of here from a full size there. I put it back up because I've got a couple extra slides that I just want to show, but I'm not going to have it in full screen so that I can there we go. Am I still in? Let's see here. There we are. Maybe I can't do this. Let me try one more time. Share screen. Let's go to this and go back to here. So yeah, there we go. So, and I'm just going to bring up the chat. I haven't got the Show all grid. I'm going to stop that. Actually, I'm going to take you through the last couple of slides here. Let me backtrack for a sec. There we go. So just a reminder that the Congress, this is an event that's going to happen coming up in September and October, Western Sponsorship Congress in Toronto, Ottawa, and Alberta and Edmonton. Part of it probably will be virtual, but it'll be an opportunity to get out there, network with people, and see how it's, you know, what the changes are. The speakers are going to be pretty dynamic. If you want, I want you to understand that there are two more of these booked with CSTA. One webinar on Thursday, May the 7th. So that's next week. That's next Thursday. Cancellation and postponement of major sporting events in Canada, an overview of legal, financial, human, operational, and sport impacts of COVID-19, lessons learned and strategies. And Ben Wall will be delivering that. And then the next one that Ian will do on the 14th around the launch of the Sport Tourism Event Evaluation Report, or STEER. So I'm going to turn it back over. I'm going to turn that off so that I can come back here and I can see see anything that's there.
Very good. Thanks very much, Brent. You can send your questions to the chat box. We have a few minutes. First question, Brent. Yep. You mentioned digital grab bags. What would be some examples of things to include in such a virtual grab bag?
So, great question. That could be everything from anything that you would normally go in there. Let's say that you as a supplier wanted to put in a coupon. Then that coupon goes into the virtual grab bag, of which they can download it themselves, and then they can print it out, or they can use it as a code on their phone to get that product. They could also download it if it's an information piece. If it is a product like, I wanted to give you a pair of socks, well, the idea is that, you know what, maybe we picked a certain retailer that we're going to partner with that carries our socks, and the end result is that you have to go to Source for Sport outlet, and you can pick up those free tension socks. And that helps that sporting goods store who is carrying the product for the sponsor to be able to get traffic into their store, because people will typically look around the store, buy other products as well. So those are the couple of the really quick examples. Basically, anything that you could have done in some way you can do virtually. And as an organization, you email them the virtual, or you text them the virtual bag, and they can open up on their phone and see everything that's in it. Mm-hmm. Hope that answers that question.
Yeah. Also, Brent, given the kind of the high accelerated speed of some of the new technologies that are being developed now, is there anything on the horizon specifically for the kind of the sponsorship industry that you're aware of that we might want to keep our eyes on?
I think the biggest thing is going to be the virtual side. And as you said, Rick, there's you know, a ton of that shift into technology. I think what we're going to see is that technology, things like virtual reality, augmented reality, integrate into our organizations way quicker. So if I'm a sponsor and I want to showcase something, and let's say it's a bat, and I want you to be able to feel the bat or feel the power that this bat can deliver, or a golf club that I want you to try, well, let's do it through virtual reality. Let's see your swing. Let's see how it's going and see how the power of this versus this other club, you know, those sorts of things. So that virtual reality side, and we're already watching it on Xbox and different sporting programming. So that part exists. It's just, how do we take it into sponsorship? And I think the real key there is, as organizations, we need to come up with the concepts and ideas. We don't have to come up with the production side. We need to come up with the ideas, and those sponsors turn around and say, this is the organization I want to work with because they've got that idea. So I think I think virtual reality, what the Louisville Bats have done to promote through augmented reality is amazing. But also it's about starting to integrate your sponsors and let them storytell. Let them produce a video that talks about how they've impacted the community through their uniforms that they supply or whatever it is. Get them to produce a 12-minute video or a 4-minute video, post it on your website, share it through your networks, and it can be on your YouTube channel, all that sort of stuff. I hope that helps.
Yeah. Another one, do the sponsorship tips that you mentioned hold true for advertisers as well?
Absolutely. I plan on writing a Tuesday morning commentary coming up. It's on my list to write the difference between advertising and sponsorship. But a lot of this holds true too for advertising. I mean, I think we're going to see more digital. I mean, people are looking at it from the perspective that they need to, you know, look at their phone to read the newspaper. I know my wife, every time we're in a smaller community, we're in Nanaimo, we have a single newspaper that delivers once a week, and she's not real keen about picking it up. So it's that fear. So how do we shift over there? So now the question is, how do we integrate advertising into our content? And 2 or 3 weeks ago, you can check our website. I wrote an article that Tuesday morning commentary that was specifically on that. And that was around the world of sponsorship one in the long game. And that was the story of, you know, so many media outlets refused to take sponsor stories and put them in on their newscasts or in their articles or editorials. It would only be they had to buy space. And that's the difference between it. And today, content, integrated content, for the New York Times, for the Washington Post, it's the largest revenue channel they've got now. Mm-hmm. So that's the shift. And I think that advertising needs to shift there as well.
Okay. Any advice for local governments or DMOs who provide support through grants rather than sponsorships?
So I think that, especially with municipalities, I mean, I just, you'd call it municipalities at large. I mean, they're all DMOs. But we work with so many municipalities from their sponsorship sales side, but it's about, I think that there's a couple of things. I think that municipalities and DMOs and organizations that grant money to sport organizations or for that matter, not-for-profits of any kind and charities, that they need to be asking more. They need to be saying to a sport organization, great, you're going to still get the 10 grand, but we're not just giving it to you. We want you to take this story about us as a destination, and we want you to post it on your website, and we want you to share it to your audience so that their audience, the sport organization's audience, is hearing the message specifically about Brandon Manitoba or whoever it is, because that's the messaging that's going to help to grow this. So I think that the grant, you can ask anything you want. And I think that sport organizations, charities, and nonprofits have got off pretty lucky for decades for all the money that the municipalities and DMOs have given them for events and getting so little in return. I think this is a time where we need to work together, and as a DMO or as a municipality, you need to be asking for more.
So. Mm-hmm. Okay, along those lines, municipalities walk a fine line in depth of promotion of sponsors, cautious not to create nepotism or optics of nepotism. Other than innovative collaborations with multiple community partners, do you have any recommendations?
Denise, I think the best answer to that is have policy. We work with a lot of municipalities across the country, and they're in the sponsorship business. So I'm not sure where you're from, Denise, but that fine line it exists even more so for the for your municipality when they're selling a naming right on a building, a arena or a recreation center. And it's even a finer line when they start to integrate a scenario such as, are they going to put Coke or Pepsi in the facilities? So those fine lines are already being tested, and most smart municipalities have policy in place for all of this. We've just finished up policy for several municipalities earlier this year. So when you start to look at that, it's the essence of having policy so that you don't end up in that scenario of nepotism or creating a situation that is negative rather than positive around the sporting tourism event that's happening in the community.
Okay. Are you able to share the link for the Mindshare report you referred to in the presentation?
If you, I don't have it in front of me right now. I will, I'll look for it, Rick, and I will send it to you so that you can send it out to everybody, okay?
That's fine, yep. Can you share the results to the survey you touched on regarding how soon people are willing to going to events or the mall?
Okay, so mindset. The second one, the one that you're referring to around the second study is the Enigma research. The full study isn't out. It's they're promising it will be out at the end of this week. That mm-hmm. came out on Tuesday. It's now Thursday and we haven't seen it. But Enigma is a really great company for doing that sort of research, event research. They've done thousands of events. So they've got a great database. It will be available. It is public, and it will be, again, Rick, I can share it with you when I get it. Mm-hmm. The stuff that I have right now that I shared in this presentation was simply off of LinkedIn posts and Twitter posts that Enigma mm-hmm. had done as a teaser leading up to it. So okay. I would encourage, I can tell you, everybody right now, that there is more content and more information than you would ever want to know about COVID-19 and sponsorship. It's on the internet. We try to curate it for our clients and do a lot of that. Every morning I spend probably close to an hour and a half to 2 hours just going through sponsorship specific content around COVID-19. And then I pick and choose and I share it through LinkedIn and I share it through Twitter. So mostly LinkedIn, that's my number one channel. So I would encourage if you follow me on there, boom, you're going to get all of that stuff.
Yeah. And if it's a public document, we'll certainly look to post it as yeah. well. No issues there. Okay. So that's all the questions I have. So thanks very much, Brent. Reminder that the presentation will be posted on our website within the next 24 hours. So look for it there. And visit our homepage for information on upcoming webinars and registration information and how to connect. And make sure if you're not already connected with our Twitter account, please do so. It's at CDN Sport Tourism for all information related to the industry. Thanks again for participating and have a great rest of day. Thanks again.
Thanks everybody. And thanks for having me, Rick.